Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Marwan Crady, who's a professor at the Annenberg School of Communication at the University of Pennsylvania. He's an expert on Arab media and politics and was the founding director of the Arab Media and Public Life Project at American University. His books include Hybridity or The Cultural Logic of Globalization, Reality Television and Arab Politics, Contention in Public Life, and Arab Television Industries. Welcome to Background Briefing, Marwan Crady.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show.
And, Marwan, the Egyptian's military regime now having named its the Field Marshal Sisi as its candidate for president has jailed or has charged 20 journalists from Al Jazeera with the most extraordinary charges, that they belong to terrorist groups, they are harming national unity and social peace and using terrorism as a means to their goals. Apparently, some of these journalists are on the run. The Egyptians, I guess they are. There were 16 Egyptians. The rest are Britons, a Dutch national, and an Australian. But the five are being held, and some have been held there since December.
Yes. Unfortunately, the situation of the media in Egypt today is worse than it was under Mubarak. So it has made full circle and then some. The military regime in charge of Egypt right now sees the media in general as a threat, any kind of independent media as a threat, but specifically they see Al Jazeera as a major threat to their agenda, because Al Jazeera has long been associated with the Muslim Brotherhood. And as you know, not too long ago, Sisi and the ruling military junta in Egypt called the Muslim designated the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. Since Al Jazeera is closely associated with the Muslim Brotherhood, it's open season on Al Jazeera in Egypt today.
So explain to me this paradox then, that the Sisi government was largely helped by the Temerod movement, and people actually went to the streets and were so fed up with Morsi's mismanagement that there was quite a popular movement against him that ended up with military rule. And my understanding is that what was going on behind the scenes was that the Saudis and others were manipulating gas and diesel wasn't available, food wasn't available. And then suddenly, as soon as the military coup against Morsi took place, money poured in from Saudi Arabia and the Gulf, and the gas and diesel and food shows up at the gas pump and on the shelves. But does this mean that Qatar, that owns Al Jazeera, is the odd man out? In terms of the money that Sisi's getting from the Gulf, it's from Kuwait, Saudi, and the United Arab Emirates, right? But conspicuously not from Qatar. Is that right?
Absolutely, and this is a very important distinction. Qatar was the main sponsor of the Muslim Brotherhood in the Egyptian Revolution that toppled Mubarak. They remained some of the major supporter, perhaps alongside with Turkey, although Qatar gave more money to Morsi when he was ruling. And the Qataris have always been closed for quite a long time to the Muslim Brotherhood. Yusuf al-Qaradawi, the famous cleric who had his show in Al Jazeera, he was one of the major advisors to the Qatari emir, came from the Muslim Brotherhood. He went to Egypt during the revolution and made a very famous speech in Tahrir Square supporting the Muslim Brotherhood's agenda. And so Qatar is very associated with the Muslim Brothers. And the Saudis, on the other hand, especially the Saudis and the Emirati, the UAE authorities, see the Muslim Brotherhood as a very important threat. Saudi Arabia, the Saudi regime, the royal family, sees the Muslim Brotherhood as an alternative, as having an alternative Islamic doctrine for political rule that could undermine the Wahhabi doctrine that is in effect in Saudi Arabia. The UAE government sees the Muslim Brotherhood as some kind of dangerous underground group, as almost a sect that can undermine its system of governance, its power. And so there's definitely a regional agenda being played out. We see the kind of withdrawal of Qatar to a large extent from the Egyptian context and a reassertion of Saudi and UAE power. This is parallel to what's going on in Syria, for instance. The Saudis now are the leading party and the leading sponsor of the opposition, and the Qatari role has receded.
Again, I'm speaking with Marwan Crady, who's a professor at the Annenberg School of Communication at the University of Pennsylvania. He's an expert on Arab media and politics and was the founding director of the Arab Media and Public Life Project at American University. And his books include Hybridity, or The Cultural Logic of Globalization, Reality Television and Arab Politics, Contention in Public Life, and Arab Television Industries. So there's also, is there not, Marwan Crady, a distinction between what the Arab viewers of the Arab language Al Jazeera program see and what Western viewers of the English language Al Jazeera program see, including here in the United States?
Absolutely. And this has been a source of debate since the founding of Al Jazeera English. It was meant to be called Al Jazeera International, but there were fears within on the network, because Al Jazeera had officially declared itself a network and no longer a station. So it was a multi-platform network with sports channel, documentary channels, a variety of channels targeting different audiences. When the English channel was launched, there was a lot of questioning as to whether it would heed the editorial line of the Arabic channel, and clearly there were some divergences in the coverage. And now we have Al Jazeera America, in addition to Al Jazeera English, that's really trying to compete in the U.S. market, and therefore does not really follow a recipe, an editorial recipe that would attract Arab viewers. So there are definitely differences in the way they cover events. The main Arabic channel, there's no doubt in my mind that it has been a champion of the Muslim Brothers and Muslim Brotherhood-affiliated political parties wherever they are in the Arab world. We can see it in Egypt very clearly, in the case of Tunisia very clearly, even in the case of Syria. So there's no doubt in my mind. I mean, however, beyond just the context of Al Jazeera itself, we need to look at the broader context of Egyptian media. Egyptian media are in trouble. They're in full crisis mode. There's no money for advertising. They face censorship from political power. They face dwindling audiences. Initially, when the revolution toppled Mubarak, there was huge interest in television. Talk shows achieved huge ratings because people wanted to know what was going on. Famously, there was a prime minister who resigned live online. Today, Egyptian media are in crisis mode. There was an interesting news item today that in a meeting of representatives of major Egyptian television channels, direct attacks were leveled at the Saudis. They, even though the Saudi royal family is bankrolling and supporting the Sisi regime, people in the media in Egypt are very resentful against what they see as Saudi attempts to take over the Egyptian media environment, to take over the sector. They accuse it of wanting the large audience of Saudi Arabia. They accuse Saudi princes of wanting to achieve monopoly power over different kinds of programming, and this was very strange. At the same time, if you see it in a long history of the Egyptians are very proud of their media sector, justifiably so. But it's a media sector that has been struggling for the last 20 years. After being dominant in the Arab world, in the last 20 years, the Saudis have been ascendant. A lot of media interests in Egypt are already owned by Saudis. And so the situation is a lot more complicated than to say whoever, you know, who pays the piper plays the tune, right? It's a much more complicated situation that has some unexpected dynamics going on.
But I thought that one of the richest men in Egypt who has a television network is a Coptic Christian, and that was, I don't know whether he was responsible for that, the appearance of that ridiculous film that was made out here in Los Angeles that caused such an uproar in Egypt and by extension in Libya, leading to the killing of the U.S. ambassador in Benghazi, which of course has become a whipping boy for the Republicans.
We don't know for a fact if Mr. Sawiris, the Egyptian mogul, he owns a lot of media interests, He founded a political party in the wake of the revolution. He does support the military regime. He cannot stand the Muslim Brothers. I don't have any evidence that he was related to the infamous video that you mentioned. But again, you know, this is somebody who controls one slice of the Egyptian media market, but he doesn't control the whole market. And the market since the January 2011 revolution has grown extremely quickly in size. And has obviously grown in diversity. So you had some Salafi channels, Muslim Brotherhood affiliated channels, game and music channels. Then you have kind of more mainstream general political channels, and you have the vast state apparatus, the Nilesat channels, which are many channels, many more channels than the Egyptian markets can bear. But since Egypt has Nilesat, the Egyptian government does have a satellite, a geostationary satellite, they have to fill those transponders, and they have many channels. And so it's very difficult to say why and where Mr. Sawiri stands in the current scuffle with Saudi Arabia over the media. There was another event over the summer when the Turkish prime minister accused the military government, accused Mr. Sisi and his supporters of staging a military coup, because Erdogan was a supporter and is still a supporter of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. There was a lot of talk of boycotting Turkish products, boycotting Turkish media productions. So what we see overall is that media, even entertainment, even television drama, even game shows, have become a political bargaining tool of sorts between Egypt, whose media sector is in crisis, and a variety of regional players, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the UAE, and Turkey.
But just back to the 20 journalists who are facing charges in Egypt from Al Jazeera, many of whom are on the run and some of whom are in jail. I'm curious to know, I know that the BBC and Sky Television and the Daily Telegraph have come out very strongly in support of these journalists being held by the military regime. But has there been a groundswell over here, do you think? Are people in our press and those organizations we have here advocating freedom of the press taking this issue on?
I do not believe so. I haven't seen much of it. I mean, of course, in kind of niche circles that are interested in press freedom, you know, I'm on Twitter and I follow and dialogue through Twitter with a lot of like-minded people who are interested in media and the Middle East, who are interested in independent media in the region. And of course, there's an ongoing debate. But I definitely don't see a groundswell of criticism of the Sisi government. Many of us expected President Obama to mention the issue in his State of the Union address. Egypt, as you remember, got nearly no mention. So I definitely wouldn't call it a groundswell. There's concern in some circles, but it remains limited. It remains muffled.
Well, but it's a universal issue. I don't understand how you could bifurcate this.
It is a universal issue, and it's problematic on so many levels. As you said, the majority of those accused or indicted are Egyptian. The others are foreign nationals, Dutch, Australians, Brits, I believe. And the charges against the two groups are different. The Egyptians are accused of supporting terrorism. The foreigners are accused of spreading false information that harms national security. Those are two very different accusations that carry, you know, different levels of potential punishment, right? If you're accused of being a terrorist, you know what can happen to you. You get tortured, especially when you don't have the protection of a foreign passport. So that's it's problematic at that level. The other reason that it's very problematic is while everybody keeps castigating the Syrian government for doing what it does to foreign journalists, which is abominable, we don't hear the same about Egyptian journalists, perhaps because in Egypt they're not getting killed like they are in Syria, but they're getting harassed more and more in ways that I find particularly disturbing. Not only the scope, the scale of the harassment is increasing, but the intensity, the accusations, the charges leveled against journalists. It's extremely difficult to work as a journalist in Egypt today unless you are supportive of Sisi rule.
Well, Myron Crady, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Marwan Crady. He's a professor at the Annenberg School of Communication at the University of Pennsylvania. He's an expert on Arab media and politics and was the founding director of the Arab Media and Public Life Project at American University. His books include Hybridity or The Cultural Logic of Globalization, Reality Television and Arab Politics, Contention in Public Life, and Arab Television Industries. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking with a riverkeeper who worked with Pete Seeger on cleaning up the Hudson River.